Go ahead.
Hi, okay. It's Diane. It is Tuesday, May 24th. I'm here with the 2 o'clock group, and we have Martha and Tamar so far. And so let's just start with a quick check-in. We did non-judgment last time. What do you guys want to celebrate, or what do you want to report back? Martha, you want to give us an update?
I'm just trying to think. It's just a matter of something that I've been working on, and so it's I feel like I've been more and more successful in just calming down, relaxing, and working through, you know, things with my son instead of just jumping to conclusions or judging.
So what, how is that different than kind of what was going on for you before you had that conversation a couple weeks ago?
Just a lot of like non-communication and frustration between the two of us, and just a lot of not real communication. So now I can just calmly just ask him something, and he doesn't feel, or I would think he responds in a way that seems he's a little more comfortable that I'm not just asking him that with a motive, or that I already have an answer before I asked it.
Yeah, so part of it is, so what's kind of coming to me is, you know, this we tend to jump from problem to solution, right? And that's a real common reaction. And so, you know, if you were going to focus on the steps in between, which are, you know, strengthen the relationship and acknowledge and validate and kind of all the stuff that we're talking about today as well, what might be different?
It helps it to, the other, you know, jumping to the solution, the solution won't work because you didn't you didn't do your work on it.
Right.
So it might, but more than likely, like, I just think, well, this is what you need to do. And that's not, you know, he's like, well, I don't want to do that. So then you're at a standstill where you're just not going to communicate.
Right. That's interesting. Cool. All right. Well, what are you celebrating, Martha?
Oh, that it's just opened an avenue, and I'm just continuing to work on the relationship. And he's, you know, what he's interested in, which is mostly the computer games and videos and things, he'll talk to me about it. Now, of course, I don't understand most of what he's saying, but that's not the point. So it's just a little more relaxing that we have conversations, and that he would come to me to let me know something that's interesting in his life.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Tamar, what are you celebrating?
I'm celebrating that after many weeks of my son not having a social worker because his social worker got another job, I did a bunch of research, found someone, had my initial consult with her, and he had his first appointment with her last night. And she lives like above where her office is, and she has a golden retriever, and my son loves dogs, and she brought the dog into the session, and he loved it. And so it was a good first session. I was glad. I mean, I don't know if it's going to work with her, but you know, so far so good.
Well, and I think the thing that kind of sheds some light for me on the why it's so hard to put the energy into finding a new school when you just went through the process of trying to find a new therapist. So it's, you're probably a little weary, if I had to guess.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to find someone that good and recommended and in network and, you know, all those things. But so far I found someone.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Okay. And so where do you want to take Ange, Mark?
Really just a lot of compassion, you know, just kind of understanding that, like, this is who he is, and he doesn't mean to forget to write down his homework. He doesn't mean to, you know, have trouble with so many things. It's just the way he is.
Mm-hmm. So is it about keeping that front of mind? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, when I get frustrated that, like, he left something at school that he needs or didn't write down an assignment, you know, he struggles with this, and just to be more understanding about it.
Okay, cool. Martha, where do you want to take aim?
Yes.
Where do you want to take aim?
Well, as I was telling you earlier, that we're preparing to go on a vacation, and a vacation is a different dynamic than your everyday, existence at home. So I think that I'd be taking aim that I'd be more open to what he wants to do on the vacation and at what time he's choosing to do it, like him and my husband, that we have more of the open communication, that I just wouldn't be my way or the highway. So I'm going to take aim on not trying to make it just so strict and regimented, because I think he needs this much structure. So if he's not doing it, then that's his thing. Yeah.
What's getting in the way now? Let's get really clear before we take aim. What do you think is the biggest obstacle to that right now?
I think it was mostly like me not seeing where he's coming from. This is how it's always been done, and this is how my family would vacation, and this is, so kind of what I perceived doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be what our family looks like.
So is it about letting go of your own perspectives of have-tos? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just letting go of my perspective and my can't think of the word, but or traditions, or we've just never done it that way before kind of mentality, being more flexible and open.
Okay.
To cool. A new way.
How does that feel? How does that feel as a place to start?
I think it feels promising, and it feels like I should relax, because this is a big burden that I've been carrying that I didn't need to, that wasn't helping anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. Cool. Okay, so we're talking today about not taking it personally, and this is something that a lot of us really could use some frequent reminders, and I think that I notice this time of year that people are so stressed this time of year, and when we get stressed, we tend to take things and be more sensitive and take things more personally. And, our kids are doing things that don't, always feel great. You know, sometimes they're snarking at us or even yelling at us or, engaging in behaviors that we, really feel are inappropriate. And a lot of times what happens, and it's completely human nature, is we end up, turning it on ourselves and saying, well, is it they're doing it because of me, or it's they're doing it to me, or we feel attacked, or we feel blamed, and I think a lot of our kids, when they, and I don't know if your kids are like this, but mine are, when things don't go their way, they tend to blame, and so all of a sudden it's my fault that they don't clean their room, or it's not my fault that they haven't turned in their homework or whatever it is, right? And And it's hard when you know everybody's using the word you, not to take things personally. But the challenge is that when we do, it really does shift our perspective. Because if we're in self-preservation mode or protection mode, our ability to kind of turn things around and look without judgment and with compassion at our kids is more limited. You know, if we take things personally, we're more likely to go, you know, to try to fix it or to stop it or to get triggered. And the more we kind of just allow things to be what they are and not make it all about us, the more we can continue to focus on our kids and on responding to the situation rather than simply reacting from more of a, you know, kind of a flinched or a knee-jerk sort of reaction. And, you know, I think that it allows us to kind of stay more in a place of curiosity and in a place of discovery and openness, which we know are much more powerful ways of being able to work with our kids and to problem solve. So what comes up for the two of you guys on this area of not taking it personally?
Oh, well, my son is a little older, and so, yeah, I've been for at least more than that, but consistently the last 3 to 4 years that his attitude and his actions are completely, I'm doing something wrong. And so it's just been a long, long, you know, course to just finally go, no, I'm not. I am not a bad parent. He's not a bad, you know, child. There's just, we have to work through this. And so, yeah, and not even only that, I'm one of those that kind of try, have worked with not being sensitive because every time, you know, like if you're at work and they're in a meeting and they say, people need to stop doing this, you know, leaving the mess in the break room or spending too much time on your break or whatever, you know, whatever it might be that they're just trying to rein us in. And I'm like, well, maybe I didn't do that. So maybe they're not speaking to me. So not just taking it personally like, oh, goodness, but I don't leave a mess. So that, you know, so my feelings are hurt that they don't see that I'm, you know, but they weren't even talking to me. They were talking to a group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So from that perspective and then bringing it down to even when you're in your family and it's very personal to be the mother of the child and just having to deal with, there is some form, there's a point of separation where you don't take it personally that they're not cleaning their room because they have something else that you got to work on.
So what changes when you don't take it personally?
I can hear. I listen instead of jumping to the defense.
Tamar, what comes up for you?
I think it's kind of similar to what Martha was saying, that, you know, just because they're not listening or just because they're not cleaning up or after themselves or whatever it is, it's not about me. It's about their inability to really focus and concentrate on what needs to get done. And you know, so often it becomes a power struggle, but it doesn't need to. It really doesn't need to. And I get frustrated because they're not listening to me, but, like, I have to remember it's not about me. You know, like, it's funny. My son leaves his clothes all over the place, in the bathroom, in the hallway, never puts stuff away. But you know what? I mean, I leave my stuff in my room. So I'm not a very good example, but I have to remember, like, okay, so he's not so good at this.
Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Well, and I'm curious whether it's a different about our kids than it is about other people. You know, so if other people have a bad day and they kind of lash out, is it easier to say, oh, they must just be having a bad day? or they must be having a hard time.
Definitely easier for other people.
Yeah, so what's different?
I don't know, but sometimes I thought if somebody was taking it out on me, I would take it personally until I'm, like I said, I've been trying to realize it might just be a bad day. And I had nothing to do with it. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And, of course, family does that a whole lot more because you have to love them anyway. So you kind of tip. I know I'm kind of probably the worst of abusing the privilege.
Well, what does that mean? That it's harder to let it roll if it's family?
Well, I think it is. I have to stop and I have to think about, am I being a bad role model, or is he just mirroring the way I act, you know, and when he comes across, you know, with the wrong tone or attitude, you know, so I think when it's the family, there's a little bit more in-depth, you know, taking it personally to think about it, as opposed to someone that, you know, is a complete stranger that says and to you and you know, you just may never see him again.
Mm-hmm. Well, so there's a so what in that? So what's the difference?
I guess it's the investment.
Interesting. So what do you think is something that would make it easier to not take it so personally when it is family, particularly with our kids?
I think to remember where they're coming from, to remember that, you know, they have a disability, and that might be where it's coming from.
So I love how you said that, because it's not like I believe that this is all has to do with their disability, but it's like that willing to consider. I don't know if you guys have heard me say that before, but that's kind of when you're changing your perspective. If you can say, well, I'm willing to consider that part of this might be because of their ADHD or their anxiety or their, you know, whatever it is, right?
Right.
Tamar, how does that help when you change that perspective just slightly?
It's very helpful, you know, just considering what we dealt with this year. You know, it helps me not be so angry. It helps me not be so upset with, you know, the fact that he threw the thing at me and I got so hurt and I needed stitches. And, you know, it wasn't him that wanted to do that. It was, you know, whatever chemical imbalance he has that made him do it. And so I can't be angry at him for it. And it just helped me put it in perspective, like, he's not a bad kid, you know.
So
he doesn't mean to leave his clothes all over the house. Just that's what he does.
Yeah. Well, and so what does it take to remember that and keep that front of mind?
It's a hard one.
I think
it's
when it's happening, we have to stop and take a step back, so we have time to realize and think that way.
Oh, so you're saying that it doesn't come front of mind, but if you slow down, it makes it easier to remember it. Is that what you mean, Martha?
Right. Because, I'm still in the process of being, maybe the temperament of me, my temperament is going to respond quickly. And if I just would wait, and I don't know about all guys, but I the two I live with, my husband and my son, I had no idea that it took them that long to answer something. You know, if I would think they ask me something, then I can just tell them. But if I ask them, there's this long pause, and then there's the reply, no matter what it seems to be. So I haven't figured it out, but like, you know, okay, that's just, accept that that's how they respond.
Right. So if you can know that it's like, okay, it's okay to have a different expectation because that's the way their brain works or whatever else. Mm-hmm. How hard, Tamar, how hard is it for you to remember?
It's hard, especially when you think you can do better. It's hard to remember that you really can't. You know, when I think about his age and that he's not asking his age level, and it's even more harder because my daughter, who's younger, was much more mature and studious. She's just a very different kid. And I know you're not supposed to compare, but it's just such a difference between them. Mm-hmm. So it's very hard.
Yeah. Well, and so you've got you've got to kind of shift your expectations. And as kids get older, it's kind of like, you know, especially if you've got, in my household, the older one is the one that is struggling, and the younger one is now caught up and even past the older one and in a lot of areas developmentally. And so it's like, how do you remember? It's like, okay, I'm going to expect this from her, but not expect this from him. And, you know, if there's a fairness gene floating around the house where somebody's like, okay, that sort of thing.
Right. Right. It is hard. You know, I'm sure that my son feels like I favor my daughter because he's just an easier kid.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you most want to remember?
I want that, like, sentence in my head that says, you know, this could be their disability. That could be where this is coming from, instead of something that's more derogatory about them.
That kind of, is it natural or is it neural? What's the saying?
Is it naughty or is it neurological?
Yeah, there it is, yeah.
Mhm. Yeah, so I guess the question is it a mantra? Is it a visual reminder? But it's kind of like it feels like this is twofold. One is it's about not taking it personally, and then two, it's about, again, going back to compassion and about knowing that our kids aren't doing this stuff on purpose. And my guess is that it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing is what you're describing, is that sometimes it makes it easier not to take it personally if we can take the disability perspective. And sometimes if we don't take it personally, then it's easier to take the disability perspective. I mean, it kind of is a circle of the two of them coming together is what I'm just hearing you guys describe. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah. So, Martha, do you want to dig in a little bit on something in particular? I know I had some chance to do that with Tamar at the beginning of the call.
No, not really today.
I know you're getting ready for vacation, so.
Right. So, and I just hadn't been able to go to too many of them because of a clash on the first Wednesday. So I thought, you know, every time I do get out there, everyone else's conversations, we all just seem to go, yeah, we're not alone. So I learned from even listening to others.
Cool. Well, and I know that sometimes you're a little stretched because you're getting ready for vacation and everything else, and sometimes it's easier to just be a little bit more passive. So let's, Tamar, anything else from you? And if not, we'll shift over to our final four questions.
I think I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So just take a few notes for yourselves. What did you focus on the most today? What were your ahas or one big aha? What do you want to put into action? And what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
I think for me, the biggest thing that I took away is the compassion and peace, along with, you know, this might be coming from their disability, and I have to keep remembering that instead of me taking it personally when they don't listen or follow instructions because they're just family and they don't want to listen.
Right. So what do you want to do differently?
Somehow control my reaction to disobedience.
Is there something in particular you want to do to set yourself up for success tomorrow?
I don't know. I'm just thinking about, like, last night, and, you know, I'm just trying to put the kids to bed, and I have a hard time just doing it when I'm by myself, just the two of them. But, you know, my daughter keeps finding excuses to stay up later. I'm stay up later. I need a drink, and then I need to eat, and then I need to do this, and then but I didn't do that. And it just gets me so riled up. But, like, every kid does.
Right.
She just happens to be really good at it. And I just make the whole bedtime process so unappealing for them because I'm so frustrated with them. It wasn't easy that way.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard. I mean, that's the thing, guys. I mean, hopefully part of what I stressed in when I was talking about this is that the taking it personally is a really natural thing. I mean, it's a normal thing. It happens kind of automatically because we get, particularly when we get stressed out, it becomes, everything kind of circles around us in a very different way. So, Martha, what about you? What was your aha for today?
Kind of when I was saying that they always, that the guys always seem to pause. So it was kind of my takeaway, and the action and all in one is that paying attention to, you know, hear what they say,
mm-hmm.
and then pausing to think about it in more than one way. Maybe it's not about me, you know, and then just kind of like taking that pause so that I'm set up better for the success, so I can think about it before my action.
Love that. So is there anything in particular you want to do to try to make sure you remember that?
Well, I guess I should. I think the best for me, it would be accountability. So letting my husband and my son know that I'm planning to do it, and that if they catch me jumping, that they should just point it out, and then I would know that's personally to me, but not to react negatively, but to go, oh yeah, I gotta wait and stop a minute.
Right.
Diane, I have to drop off. I have another call, but thank you
okay,
so much.
Sweet. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.
Martha, anything else in closing?
No.
Awesome. Great. Glad you finally were able to catch up, and I'm glad to catch up with you.
Yes. All right. Well, you have a great Memorial weekend.
All right. Have a great vacation.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.